Good morning, and welcome to WGTD's Community Matters. My name is Laura Sumner Kuhn, and I'm your host this morning. And interestingly enough, we've had some things happen this week that are relevant to what our guests will be talking about today. Earlier this week, ProPublica released a study that it had done about the lack of tax paying among the 25 richest people in the country. And they released this information, even though it's personal tax information, because they thought the public had a right to know, and that it certainly did not seem to be in keeping with the US Constitution. In fact, ProPublica went so far as to say that wealth inequality has become one of the defining issues of our age. And that certainly is in keeping with our guests' thoughts this morning. Today, I have with us Tamara Patton, who's the chair of the Racine Kenosha Regional Chapter of the Poor People's Campaign, as well as the Reverend Colin Douglas, who says it gives him great joy to be known as Ari, so we'll call him Ari today. Reverend Ari is the pastor of First Christian Church of the Disciples of Christ in Janesville, and he's one of three chair people of the Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign. And they will take some time today to walk through some of the issues that they're bringing to light and some of the actions that they're taking in hope that it would lead us to some change in this country. So good morning to both of you. And I wonder—
Good morning, Laura.
Thanks.
Good morning.
We could start out a little bit by having each of you tell us a little bit about yourselves. So how about Tamara, you begin and let us know a little bit about yourself and what attracted you to this campaign.
Thank you. Yeah, no, thank you very much for having us to start. So I was born and raised in Kenosha. I live in Racine right now. And so I grew up in a working class family. So I watched my parents struggle. I watched them, you know, and many families in Kenosha and Racine are comprised of working class families. We have a strong, you know, blue collar manufacturing you know, history. And, you know, I watched my parents struggle. I watched them, you know, we have a small family business, and so which is an auto body shop still in Kenosha. And so, you know, I watched my dad struggle to provide for his, you know, an adequate wage for his employees, struggled to, you know, even maintain health insurance at times. You know, for me to go to college, I remember, you know, filling out applications and the government telling us that my parents had to contribute $8,000 to my education. And so, you know, I don't know what working class family or family living at or below the poverty line has an extra $8,000, you know, laying around. And so that just, you know, kind of opened my eyes to the struggle and seeing, you know, people work so hard and put their life and, you know, and livelihood into it and just still, you know, not get ahead. And, you know, fast forward to 2009, I was I joined AmeriCorps and I worked as a Speakers Bureau coordinator for the National Homeless, National Coalition for the Homeless. And that really just, you know, opened up my eyes tenfold more from living in kind of small town Wisconsin. I moved to Jacksonville, Florida, with my current husband. And I started working with the homeless population there. And not only did I see the struggles of, you know, having a living wage and having, you know, not having adequate health care, but just the systemic racism that was still existed, just, you know, having my own blinders on and my own biases and growing up in, you know, pretty white, you know, Wisconsin. And so that really started to open my eyes. And so from there, that has just been a passion of mine to I hate to say that we have to fight for it, but we still have to fight for just people's basic human rights of, you know, shelter and beds and, you know, adequate food and being able to be cared for and just basically their humanity and recognizing their dignity, no matter, you know, where they are at in life. And so that's that's why I've joined this struggle, or, you know, just to be able to, as we say in the campaign, is to lift from the bottom and really give more of a voice to those who are that vulnerable population and who just struggle constantly just to live and survive in this country, which has more than enough wealth to go around. So.
Thank you. And Reverend Murray, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, yes. So I am the, I'm an ordained minister in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, the pastor at First Christian Church, as you mentioned, in Janesville, and am the oldest, so the Christian Church Disciples of Christ is a pillar organization of the Poor People's Campaign. We have been one of the founding supporters from the very beginning in 2017. Our General Assembly voted to support our co-chairs, Reverend Dr. William Barber, as well as Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris. Reverend Dr. Barber is one of the, in addition to being a co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign, is also an ordained minister in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, my denomination. While I was ordained in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, I was reared in the Church of the Brethren, a historic Peace Church and modern Anabaptist denomination. My mother is an ordained minister, and my father, while presently is a criminal defense attorney, was a professor of religious studies. And I like to say that I have been going to protests and nonviolent civil disobedience actions since I was a baby in a stroller. My parents would take me to anti-bomb rallies in Germany, where my father was working on his doctorate. And afterwards, I was around various individuals in Amnesty International and other organizations focused on anti-war and anti-torture. But the thing about ministry is that it can be, you know, especially for those in some Protestant traditions, it can be very uncertain as far as one's vocation. My mother lost her church when I was about 9 years old, maybe 8 years old, and my father was let go of the University of Nebraska, where he was teaching as a professor of theology, and we ended up in a house that was falling down around our ears. I, in fact, remember my bedroom ceiling falling down on me as a child. We only lived there for a couple of years, but it was enough to cement in my very beginnings the need for adequate housing for all people, even if my faith didn't draw me to it, which it certainly does. My lived experience also draws me to wanting to make sure that all those, all living individuals have good homes and safe places. The poverty in our nation is just terrible. And so when I first heard of the Moral Monday actions that Reverend Dr. Barber was taking part in, was leading, in fact, I was very, very interested in that because it was addressing the systemic poverty and systemic racism that has afflicted our nation for, honestly, since our origin. And so when I was pastoring in Missouri, I first got involved with the Poor People's Campaign in the first 40 days of non-violence, direct civil disobedience. And then when I moved to Wisconsin to begin ministering at First Christian Church of Janesville, I sought out the Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign as well to get involved. We have gone through changes in the last year, and so we did not have tribe chairs, and now we do, of which I'm very pleased to be one of them. I was previously a member of the coordinating committee, and still hold that as part of being a tri chair. But I'm very, very happy to be in Wisconsin, both working on this campaign and pastoring in my community.
Thank you, Reverend Ari. You've touched on the national campaign, the Poor People's Campaign, which sees itself as a moral movement to equity in this country. Their website has some very interesting and informative studies and pronouncements of why this should be considered a moral campaign, all leading up to an actual resolution that has been presented to Congress. And there's a campaign for the next 2 years to call attention to this and have some action, particularly in the US federal budget. And it's interesting to see that some of the calls for correction here by people. So I'm wondering if perhaps Reverend Ari, since you've been most involved at the start of this, if you could tell us a little bit overall about the national campaign, some of its major understandings that is talked about, that they have talked about, and then what this new effort or seemingly new effort is for the resolution and the rally, which I understand is planned for next June in Washington, D.C. So if you could enlighten us a little bit about, you know, all of those things, I would appreciate it.
Absolutely. I would be delighted to. So we really do see ourselves as a continuation on the of the 1968 Poor People's Campaign of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We, in addition to the moral sins that Reverend Dr. King recognized, that being systemic racism, systemic poverty, and militarism, or the military economy, we have also added ecological devastation and the corrupt moral narrative of religious nationalism. So we've focused all of our energy on these five entwined sins, seeing that they are all aspects of the primary issues that we are facing within our nation that are the cause for deep hardship and, in fact, death. We are fighting against death. What happened just a couple years ago was that we had our policy individuals really take a look at that poverty throughout the nation. And we have figured out that rather than the fairly small amount of individuals that that some surveys like to try to say are affected by poverty in America, we have 140 million low wage and poverty-stricken individuals within the United States. So what this resolution, which we are, and we have we are focusing on now is to try to bring about a third reconstruction, which will address all of these issues and hopefully be an end to them so that we might truly live into the promise within the Constitution for a pursuit of happiness for all people, I think we can all agree that the Constitution is for all Americans, all people who live in the United States. And so that that promise is has been failed so many times. And we as a campaign are coming to say to Washington, D.C., to all those Congress critters out there, we are sick and tired of being sick and tired. We need to see those in power actually live into the promise that our nation has made to all the inhabitants of the United States. So that began initially in 2018 with a 40 days of action around the United States, people taking up traffic lanes as we did down in Missouri, people going into state capitals, demanding that we end these five entwined sins. Since then, we have had meetings with various politicians. We have had various poor people congresses where we truly listened to those who were affected. Reverend Dr. Barber and Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris have addressed Congress, and the progressive caucus has agreed that we need to have this third reconstruction. And that that progressive caucus, I'd like to mention, is a nonpartisan caucus. It is comprised of people beyond simply one party. And so it's very important that we address this, not simply on a point of partisanship, but on a point of unity. This is about what is best for all of those within the United States, even those who have power, even those who might be oppressive of others. No one is free until we are all free. Even the oppressor is in their own chains when they are making life on others more difficult, because they are denying themselves the beauty and the intelligence and the wisdom and dreams of others, and in doing so, limiting themselves, really. So that is that's what has been going on in the national campaign, and in Wisconsin, at least since I've been here. I got here in December of 2019. I got here as fast as I could. I have we've been involved with hearing those who live and work in the health care sector, those who are experiencing being unhoused, and indeed poor housing within Wisconsin. And we've been involved in various other things. And in fact, in this last October, we had a Medicaid march in Madison to address some of the issues dealing with that specifically in Wisconsin as a state campaign. We've built our infrastructure, and we really are a grassroots organization. Everyone from the bottom up has a voice. Everything that we do, even in the national campaign, is stems from people on the ground saying, this is what's going on in our lives. This is what we need to address. And this is not a top-down organization, but rather a bottom-up movement. We're not a organization at all. We are a movement of various organizations that have come together to say someone is hurting our siblings, and it's gone on for far too long.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about the resolution. It's kind of aimed specifically at the federal budget, which the national campaign says is, I'm going to quote from the website, a moral document that that exposes the priorities and values of our nation. And yes. Thinking is such that the federal budget ought to reflect the priorities and values of our nation. And there yeah. are six major points that the campaign seems to take on or wants to take on over the next 2 years and draw Congress's attention to these inequities. One of them is updating the poverty measure, which has long been inaccurately telling us of how many people live in poverty in this country. As you pointed out, Reverend Ari, and saying that there are 140 million people. By the way, the United Way organization has done ALICE reports talking about those people who are living beyond the established poverty line, but cannot afford adequate standard of living with the wages that they're making.
Right.
Brings the next point of the campaign, which is to raise the minimum wage to a living wage for all people. The third would be to expand unemployment and include paid family and medical leave for workers. Another is to provide safe housing for all people in the country, or to ensure safe housing for people. To expand the rights of workers is another issue. And then a federal jobs guarantee, which is a little murky to me. I don't know if you might be able to explain the thinking of that issue or what it actually means for us.
That's a very good question. And I don't have a good answer for that right now.
All right, that's fine. I think all of these things are in development and they're so complex, each and every one of those issues. I would just want to explain to our listeners that this national Poor People's Campaign is trying to have a low-wage worker and National Poor People's Assembly gearing up for the Moral March on Washington, which is planned for June 18th of 2022.
Correct, and we actually do have a national event this June as well. It will be on a virtual online instead because of COVID, but we will be gathering nationally virtually later this month, around the same date.
Okay, good. Now, in addition to all of this, you take on local issues as well. And Tamara, maybe this is where you could enlighten us a little bit about the Racine-Kenosha Regional Group, how long it's been around, what kinds of issues that you're actively trying to expose and change right now, and maybe who makes up that Racine-Kenosha Regional Group. Could you enlighten us a little bit?
Yeah, so we've been around, I would say, since September of last year. I have to give credit to Carmen Ayers, who's definitely, people know her as a local activist. She's involved in many different groups, and she was involved on the statewide level. And we were just at a meeting, and I was like, hey, is there a Kenosha Racine Group? And so then it just got started, which is awesome, because that's how grassroots things start. Is, you get more than one person together and you just start something and you go out into the community and see what you can change. And so, when we talk about grassroots, we are small. So this basically was our first event. We are in the process. We started off with around five people. We are growing now because there are a number of different groups that we have, you know, recently connected with, the Racine Interfaith Coalition. We connected, in fact, one of the speakers from the press conference yesterday was, you know, from the Racine Interfaith Coalition, which was really wonderful. And then, you know, the Racine Women for Racial Justice, we're looking forward to partnering with, and many different organizations. So right now we are in the phase of coalition building, and we're in the phase of looking at what the 14 policies are for the Poor People's Campaign, and really diving into how those different policies, and even, you know, now with the third Reconstruction, how do those specific those items specifically affect, you know, Racine and Kenosha. I mean, basically we want to, and we did Racine and Kenosha because at least, you know, some may get this, but this is what I hear from everybody that agrees is, you know, Racine and Kenosha are very similar. As much as we want to be separate, you know, Racine people don't go to Kenosha, Kenosha people don't go to Racine, you know, and, but we have very similar issues. And I think that's come up a lot since last summer and during COVID is, you know, there is the systemic racism that's going on, you know, Racine and Kenosha. I mean, Racine specifically is one of the worst places to live right now for people of color. We have high incarceration rates. I mean, there, you know, there's the debate going currently on with the youth detention, the new, you know, youth detention center that is a very heated debate here in Racine. And so, and then unfortunately the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, and just even trying to make a living wage in both of these cities, as I mentioned. So we want to bridge the two cities together because, you know, when you have numbers, you can create more power. And so we really want to connect, and that way we're all not taking on these issues by ourselves, and we're creating solidarity across the city lines, since, like I said, we have the same issues. And so basically right now, like I said, we're coalition building. I will say that one of the initiatives that we do want to take on and partner with is that's near and dear to different hearts in our group is who are mostly attorneys is for juveniles, you can be waived into adult court starting at 17. I may not quote it exactly right, but basically what it is you're not allowed to vote, but you can sure be put away in prison. And so that's not okay. And states like Pennsylvania have successfully changed that law. And so that is something that we are definitely wanting to tackle here in Wisconsin. We are, you know, there's definitely different things that we're looking into with juvenile justice. I will say that is definitely something. Another issue that that is near and dear to my heart, I'm a housing case manager currently. And like I said, I worked with the homeless population since 2009. And so just the, like, any number of these issues that we're looking at, it can happen to any number of us. We, you know, we think we're secure, but we're really not. And so anybody can become homeless at any time, whether it's, you know, a medical emergency, you know, a divorce, what have you. And so that's another issue that I want to tackle in this area, just seeing the lack of affordable housing for my clients. And just the, you know, even the transportation to get to and from jobs, and just the resources for mental health and substance abuse too. So those are things that we need to tackle. And I wanted to add to what Reverend Ari said is that I was trying to think, you know, so there's a lot of different groups, right, that have sprung up specifically since, you know, George Floyd's untimely death, that a lot of groups have come together saying things need to change. And so we really want to establish ourselves as a unique group, bringing together all of these different causes. And so one of the things that I find really awesome and unique about the Poor People's Campaign is that it says, you know, you can't just focus on housing issues, or you can't just focus on healthcare. You can't just focus on raising the living wage. You got to work on those things simultaneously. And because like, if you change one thing, but you still have, you know, no money to get into that affordable housing, that's not really going to help somebody out and move them forward and lift them up from the bottom. So what I like, as I said, is that all of these issues need to be worked on simultaneously so that the greater change can actually happen and move this country forward like we want to see. So, this is a great campaign in that sense, because then we can bring together all of the different organizations within these two cities to really thrive and work as, you know, as that village and really have that responsibility towards each other to really shape our communities on into the communities that we want to live in. You know, do we want to live in communities where people are, you know, suffering on the streets? Like how, Reverend Barber said last night in the Moral Mondays, he said, you know, how do you, when you ask, it's a quote, and I might not get it right, but the gist of it was, is to really see how a community is thriving, like ask how the children are. And so are our children thriving in Kenosha and Racine? Are they clearly, from my perspective, the RUSD has some issues with Racine thriving right now, but like, you know, so that's a good measure for us, is how are our children thriving in our cities? And so that's a good, I believe that's a good starting point too, but yeah, what kind of community do we want to live in? One that takes care of the least of these and, you know, not just, we don't do things just because it's the right thing to do, because we feel like we have a responsibility to work together and to really pull together and to really fight for just basic necessities just to get by. So.
And to add to what Tamara's saying, you know, our movement is not our movement if it is not intersectional.
But to that end, these are all monumental issues in and of themselves. To try to tackle them simultaneously and on different levels, the local level, the state level, the national level, is quite an undertaking. Maybe you could shed some light on how many regional groups in Wisconsin there are of the campaign, and then maybe a little bit more of how they interact with the state campaign umbrella. Can you tell us a little bit of how that works and what maybe some of your practices are to bring people together?
Sure. So we have regional groups in Rock County, Janesville, Beloit. We have Racine and Kenosha, of course. We have Madison and Milwaukee. We have a new and burgeoning group in Wausau. And I believe we have some interest in Green Bay as well. We have representatives, essentially, or chairs from all of these regional groups as part of, or at least attending, the coordinating committee meetings, so that people can give feedback into how they're doing on a regional basis, and so that the state can level can communicate with them as well. And then we also do have some specific interest groups, such as labor and the moral outreach group. And they also attend coordinating committee meetings.
So then do you listen to what issues are coming forth in each of these regional areas to decide what kinds of collective action you take at the state level? I mean, could you tell us what some of the things are that you have done in the last maybe year or so on a state level?
Sure. So we recognized that both Racine and Kenosha and Rock County and Milwaukee and other areas were all experiencing housing issues. This is an issue that is just absolutely of deep import in our state as a whole and the nation as well, but specifically for our state. So we decided to have a virtual town hall meeting last June, I believe, regarding housing, and having people come and talk about what is what they were facing.
And then what's the result of that town hall? Does it reach the ears of state legislators? I mean, who are your targets to then move the needle somewhere?
Right. So it's both for further education of all individuals within our state, but it is also certainly pointed towards our state representatives to try to get some actual change made. That is something we're still working on, for sure.
If I could add, we have one of the next events that we have coming up statewide is the state budget teach-in. So our labor group in Wausau has gone through and done a really good job of analyzing Governor Evers' proposed state budget. And so they went through and did a really good analysis, point by point almost, of how what we feel would be the most impactful to the poor and working families in Wisconsin. We have statistics that there are 2 million families living in poverty in Wisconsin, and that's a lot. And so if, it would be great if people could join us to look at this budget teach-in and really see what is going to be affecting us moving forward. In Wisconsin, it's been hard to pass anything, to get help. So we really need to focus on what the next steps are to get these initiatives passed.
So when you talk about the state budget teach-in, is that an upcoming event? Could you tell us a little bit more about when and where it might be, or how people tap into it and actually see the analysis of the budget proposal?
Yeah, so it's going to be, the main thing to do is to go and like our Facebook page. This is the Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign. And then if you go to our events, it is called the Wisconsin State Budget Teach-In. And that's going to be taking place on June 13th from 6 to 7 p.m. And it's going to be by Zoom. So there is a registration link in the event. And people can join that way. So
that will be the day after our listeners are hearing it. So that would be tomorrow.
Perfect
timing for them.
And they've put together a document. I'm not sure if it's a shareable document to the public, but we can definitely ask about that. I know we just shared it around the work that they did in our group. So that might be something to pass along as well.
Do you foresee then some kind of collective action after the teach-in to influence state lawmakers on the budget? Reverend Ari, you might best be able to answer that question.
That is something we're still discussing, but yes, I absolutely foresee some sort of action occurring, whether that's going to be nonviolent civil disobedience, which is something that our campaign as a whole has been active in the past, or whether that might look different in another way. We'll just have to see, and we'll come together. We'll decide it as a consensus.
Most of your decisions made by consensus. This is a very grassroots effort, as you've mentioned. So how do you make decisions about what to go after and how and when?
Yeah, so some of that is decided on a national basis. National does at times say, we've been hearing from our states that this is something that we'd like to do. If individual states are going to do it, then we need to have all states do it. We don't try to act like we're not individuals, but rather a whole, because everything we do is more powerful together.
So solidarity is a very meaningful tool.
Absolutely.
And combating all of these issues, right? I want to just, we're going to be running out of time, and I want to have a chance to explain to our listeners how best they can get engaged with the Racine Kenosha Regional Group. So Tamara, can you maybe tell us the many ways that people could connect?
Absolutely. So the so our Facebook page, as I already mentioned, that's a great way to like that. But then also going to the National Poor People's Campaign website, so that can from there you can find the different states and then sign up to get in contact with the Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign from there. I will tell you that the Racine Kenosha group does meet the fourth Mondays of every month at 6:30 right now by Zoom. Hopefully, you know, that'll be something we can do in person, but we, you know, we may keep it virtual as well. And so once somebody signs up to get connected with the Wisconsin group through our national page, then we can, you know, then we will be informed of that and can reach out from there.
So I would imagine people could just Google the...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was looking for the website. I don't have it memorized, but it's so, yeah, that's how I did it. I Googled it.
So. All right. It works, right?
Yeah, it does.
So people can go to the website, they can sign up, they can read all about the national issues that the Poor People's Campaign nationwide is looking at, especially at that call for Congress with what we really didn't talk about, what it's actually called. It's the third Reconstruction Resolution. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Right. And they can look at those issues that I kind of ran through a little bit that they're focused on and look at the upcoming nationwide campaign that they're heading for, both in the way of an online assembly that they're doing coming up very soon. This weekend, as a matter of fact, from 6 to 7 is the teach-in on the local level, and also a June event for the national group on the 21st. And then the people could read more about the Moral March on Washington, which is planned a year out in June of 2022. And then they can find out all about the Wisconsin group also on the website. So, and then there's a Facebook page for the Wisconsin group as well, right?
Yes. So
the email, the website is just, it's super simple. It's poorpeoplescampaign.org. And then you just look for Wisconsin from there and you can connect from the Facebook page. And then we're also asking, there is a website created specifically for the third Reconstruction. And so if you'd like to sign up for, so it's thirdreconstruction.org.
And with a three.
With a three, yep. It's not spelled out. And so it's thirdreconstruction.org, and we're asking people to go there to RSVP to either attend that June 21st event online or to see, or to let them know if you're going to be in person for the rally in Raleigh. That's really confusing, the rally in Raleigh. And then actually by signing up there too, then you can get specific information about the third Reconstruction too, so.
Well, awesome. I really appreciate both of you taking time today to explain a little bit more about the Poor People's Campaign and the breadth and depth of issues that the campaign tries to address. And these are efforts that aren't going to be handled overnight. It's over a long haul. They'll take attention. So, interesting to get as many people engaged who might be interested in being active on these issues at all these levels, the local level, the state level, and the national level. So I thank you so much for explaining that to us. Any last words of something that maybe you wanted people to know and we haven't addressed yet?
Just forward together, not one step back.
I would say, fight poverty, not the poor. And thank you very much for having us.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I'll look forward to hearing more in the future, and maybe we'll come back and revisit some of these issues and see what kind of traction you've made. Thank you both.
Sounds awesome.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.